Welcome to the call, everybody. This is the seventh session of Financial Freedom and Integrity. And this is Jim and Jory calling you today from Maui. And the focus of today's call is on vision. And we're going to go through a very similar kind of class that we've done in the past. We're going to be having some time in small group work, some time in the large group here with a lesson. There's going to be a lot of chance for dialogue practice today. So there'll be quite a bit of work in with pairs as you uncover some pieces of your own vision. And then we will also do, of course, a checkout at the end to find out how this was for people. So that's the general plan. We'll just move right along into our self-connection exercise. Jory, whenever you're ready.
So for me, this is a really special time of the call, and it's also a special time in our lives to take time to self-connect. And for me, self-connecting, particularly when I'm in a learning environment, is very important. It's important for me in terms of holding my own space and maintaining my own integrity, and it's also important for me that be your truth, too, that you have your self-awareness with you as you hear what we talk about. So I invite you in this moment to tune in right now to your body and notice the quality of energy that you notice. Notice wherever your attention is drawn, whether it be your foot or your heart or your hand or wherever. Just breathe into wherever you are aware of sensation. Giving yourself permission to feel whatever you feel and to think whatever you think about that. If, I imagine, if you're unlike me and everybody else, you will have thoughts that arise. And give yourself permission to have those thoughts. Just notice that you have them. This is where we make the bridge from thoughts having us to that we have thoughts. Just use your awareness to shift and notice that some part of you is aware of the feelings, of the thoughts, as distinguished from those moments when you're lost in the world and you're just lost in your thinking and overwhelmed by your feelings. In this moment, have that awareness that they're happening. Consider now something that went well in relationship to money recently. Notice the thinking, and whether you're clear about a specific incident or not, just notice your body again. Notice where your attention is drawn to any physical sensations or motion, comfort in your body. Just having considered that. Then consider, what's something that you tell yourself about money? And again, just notice the mental activity as you sort through or you seek to fill in that blank with a thought. And whether you have connected to a particular thought or not, I'll give you another moment to see if you do. Whether you've connected to that thought or not, notice again your body. You have a thought that you've connected to, say it to yourself two or three times and see what happens to your body. Breathing into the feeling. And then opening yourself up to the experience, this current experience, a thought if you've come to it, and if not, even just the thoughts around not having come to one, and physical sensations. Just allow your heart to just open up to it. Give it permission to just be as it is. And bringing your full awareness to what's happening inside of you right now in relationship to this. And notice if there is something. Notice what, actually, not even if, but what really is important that is motivating your current experience? What's the deeper meaning of whatever's going on for you in relationship to the thought experiment that I suggested of something that you tell yourself about money? What positive intention could this thought have? Give yourself permission to then do whatever you're doing with what I'm suggesting. Maybe you've connected to what the positive intention is, and you're connected to sort of an aha, yeah, well, of course, yes, that's really meaningful. Maybe there's an additional constriction inside of you in relationship to that, whatever that is. Give yourself permission, even something different. Yeah, just give yourself permission. Just be as you are on this perfect journey. Perfect either for your enjoyment, perfect for your learning and growth. Then consider, what is it right in this moment that comes alive in you as being important and essential for you in our time together? What is it that you want? Learning, maybe it's liberation, maybe it's community and love, wisdom, whatever it is for you. Then on the next breath, breathe that need in and let it permeate the cells of your body. Go right through you out, out of every cell, out through your skin and out on your out-breath. Breathe that need out to everyone else on this call. Surround yourself with that need in the air around you. Breathe in the need and let it go out every part of you as you breathe out need. And then on the next breath, breathe that out to everyone in the world so that your entire world has your world and our world has that need just flowing around us. and just to bring yourself back to wherever you're making contact with gravity in the world, just to bring yourself really present and grounded. We'll begin to check in, have an opportunity just to say anything that anyone here would like to say to being on this call.
So if you'd like to check in with a large group, we'd love to hear from a couple people here. And I just noticed a kind of a interesting some physical sensations in my body, and I don't really have the words to that. I don't have it really linked to a clear feeling word, but some words that kind of point around to it are sort of excited and nervous and the edge of overwhelm. And the thought is something like, boy, life is really going fast. It really seems to be speeding up. And there's a wonder in there, too. Will I be able to keep up with everything that's going on that's on my plate right now? That's me. Love to hear from anybody else. If you'd like to check in, go ahead, Katharina.
It was really the first time that during the self-connection exercise, this guy had a real aha moment. I noticed that my first thought about money was an habitual thought. I find it challenging, or I'm incapable of creating financial abundance with meaningful work. The emphasis here is on what I'm judging as meaningful, which is my conflict resolution work. Then I realized I actually did succeed in making some money with some new workshops this month. Even though it was very little money, it was money. So sentence morphed into, I'm learning to generate financial abundance with meaningful work. There was still the judgment on distinguishing between meaningful work and what I consider not meaningful work, which is the waitressing I do on the side. And then I caught myself on that, and I added a second sentence, which is, and I'm learning to see meaning in financial rewarding work, which is the waitressing. And then I realized, when you ask for the underlying intention and need, that the need is contribution. And if I can see how waitressing contributes to people, then I can accept it in a whole different way.
Wow. I'm so glad I dogged to hear from somebody. Thank you so much. It really helps me to feel connected to you and to see the power of this process that we're guiding you through. Thank you so much, Katharina.
Thank you.
All right. Anybody else got anything up? I don't see any other hands up. So I'll move into the lesson here. Just an invitation to do a little mini version of some kind of self-connection process for yourself. And just notice how you feel right now, knowing that you're joined on the call with other folks with a similar passion. Extending my sense of presence to everyone on the call and everyone who's listening to the call later. Enjoying the fact that we're part of a community. It's gathered with this common intention to move towards financial integrity, towards a sense of liberation and freedom around money and things related to money. And it has been quite a journey. This is, I believe, the seventh week that we've been meeting, and we started with exploration of some childhood issues, the innocence of childhood, and then the pain of adolescence, kind of waking up to the inequities of the world and waking up to how the innocent beliefs we have may not serve us, and then moving into more of an adult point of view around money, where we begin to grow our knowledge, our compassion, and our vigor. And now here we are, with today and next week as our last steps on this part of the journey around financial integrity, financial freedom, and knowing that really what we're doing here is it's in the middle of the movie for all of us, that we've already gone a significant distance in our own journey towards financial freedom and integrity, and that this is a way stop, that today we're kind of pausing for a moment to reflect on what we've already learned in our own journey, and then we'll begin to take some new steps so that by the end of the call today, I'm hopeful that you will all have some real clear ideas of some requests that you have of yourself and perhaps of others that will move you along on your journey, and that when we regather for our final class next week, we'll be able to look back on what you've done over the past week with a sense of celebration about how it is beginning to move you forward in a way that takes the, like, consolidates the learning of the class and begins to move it ever more into your life. And then by the time we end, at the end of next week's call, that there's a real sense of confidence that from your sense of self-connection and the skills you've been developing in this class, that you will be moving forward into a life that is very, very much more fulfilling than it was when we began. And so this notion of vision that we're going to be focusing on this week, this is like answers the question for me, okay, now I've got all this knowledge that I've been working on. I might have a lot more clarity about what my present state is around money, and maybe some clarity about the observations of where I've been in my journey around money, how much I've spent, how much I've made, how much I am spending, how much I am making. Maybe have some real sense of how I want to budget my time or my money, ever-growing clarity about those kinds of issues, and then developing strategies last week for how to increase the amount of energy available to us to utilize the knowledge and the compassion that we've been working with. Now we have all this energy, what are we going to do with it? It's about how we direct our vigor out into the world towards the health and welfare of both ourselves and our communities. So this goes for me to the need for well-being and really beginning to connect with the need for well-being in a very adult way. You know, in NVC we make a big deal out of, really taking responsibility for my needs and not really having any expectation that any one single person is going to be responsible for meeting my needs other than myself, and vice versa. I'm not responsible for meeting anybody else's needs. And yet there's also this powerful notion of contribution that's built in to this consciousness. I know that you contribute to my needs. I had a direct experience of it 5 minutes ago when I dogged for my need for connection, and then I heard from a few people about how you are in the moment and how it happened at the beginning of the call when we were gathering here before we actually started the recording, and heard from some people about what was going on in their lives, how you actually contributed to my understanding, my sense of connection. And I'm guessing I'm contributing to you. You keep showing up on the call and you're learning stuff. And so it's very clear that although I'm not responsible for meeting your needs and you're not responsible for meeting my needs, nevertheless, we're contributing to one another. And that's what well-being means to me. Well-being is an acknowledgement that what I do affects you and what you do affects me, and that we are actually interdependent. One of my favorite quotes from Marshall Rosenberg is, independence is an illusion. Independence is an illusion. Every time I think that I'm a rogue actor, I know that I'm right around the corner from suffering. If I think that it's all up to me, or if I think it's all up to you, I know that I'm living in a world of poverty. But when I see that I'm actually a part of a community of, on this call right now, 10 people, and then part of a larger community of people connected to the call, around 50 people, part of an ever larger community through NVC Academy that numbers in the thousands, and then part of an ever larger community of NVC practitioners around the world in 65 countries that it may be even in the hundreds of thousands of people. And then I think of all the people that have practices and are developing the consciousness that is in harmony with NVC, and now we're talking about millions and maybe billions of people on the planet. I really see how I'm part of something so much bigger. And so it begs the question for me, what am I going to do about it? What can I do to focus the vigor that I'm creating to support the health and welfare and the well-being of the world that I want to live in? Sit with that for a moment. What do you want to do with the vigor that you're creating to contribute to the health and welfare of the communities that you're a part of? Now, at this level of adulthood, we're at what we're calling vision. This includes all kinds of opportunities for contribution, and it also includes the opportunity for exchange. I like how someone during the check-in was talking about how they were creating more meaning in their life through the simple act of serving I'm guessing during the moment, when it's at the heat of the moment, you're really serving those customers, it can be very intense. But the act of serving a customer and creating meaning around that you're actually contributing to the well-being of a customer in a restaurant setting or a food setting, and that actually reframes our experience of the activities that we're engaged with, that when we're connected to our needs, we actually cultivate a sense of meaning, and that creates a feedback loop and thus increases our vigor. When I think about moving with vigor into the world, moving towards my vision, what I notice in my own life is that there are two motivators for me. One is the pain that I feel about my unmet needs. That when I feel pain, it's very natural for me to move towards finding strategies that address the pain. So if I'm hungry, I move towards food. If I'm thirsty, I move towards liquid nourishment. If I'm lonely, I move towards relationship with others, connection with others. If I'm needing meaning and purpose, I look for a way to contribute, and so forth. And so noticing the pain of the unmet need is a very strong motivator to move towards fulfillment. Second strong motivator is a compelling future. The idea of something out there that I'm moving towards, that when I'm very present to what's happening right now, yet there's a compulsion to move towards deepening my love, expanding my wisdom, increasing my compassion, that sort of thing. Creating more clarity, having more of a sense of meaning and purpose and contribution, more joyful relationships, all that compels me to continue to take the steps forward to move into creating the world that I want to live in. So I want to spend some time today supporting you in cultivating some clarity around your own vision and then moving towards creating perhaps a mission for yourself and some actions that can be meaningful for you in helping to fulfill your vision. So a vision to me is like some kind of a representation that we have in our consciousness that is about what the ultimate outcome of our efforts and energy might look like. And I like having a pretty large scale when I think in terms of vision. So I'm thinking about what's the world going to look like when I'm finished with the work that I would like to do. What's the world going to look like in terms of ourself, our family, our relationships, the companies that we might be involved with, the organizations, systems that we're intermeshed with? What are those systems going to look like when I'm finished with the contributions that I'm going to make? And so I'd like to invite you into another little self-connection exercise as I guide you through some questions to consider. I'll read the question and then give you about 30 seconds or so to consider each question, and then another minute to write some notes to yourself about each of the questions. And then we'll get together to discuss what you've come up with. And my prediction is that as you talk in a mindful conversation with a partner, it'll stimulate more ideas for you, more clarity for you. Begin with just noticing your heart right now. Notice the air moving in and out through your body. And do a thought experiment that looks like this. Imagine that you have enough money right now, whatever enough money. You've done some work that maybe you know what enough is for you, but you actually have enough. Imagine that you have enough. You fulfilled that part of your goal. So you have enough money to take care of all your needs right now and for the rest of your life. That's the frame. You have enough right now for the rest of your life. Take a moment and consider, how would you live your life if that were true for you? How would you live your life if you had enough? As you consider how you would live your life if you had enough, take a moment and jot yourself a couple of notes just to get back any ideas that have come up for you. We'll take another few seconds to do that, about 30 seconds, to write down any notes for yourself before we go to the next question. The next question. What would you want to contribute to? If you had more than enough money, or enough money, what would you want to contribute to? How would you want to utilize the vigor that you had? What would you want to contribute to? Again, after you think about it for a moment, just write yourself some notes. You just need words or ideas. What would you like to contribute to? Considering what you've written so far, would this lead you to change anything that you're doing right now? Perhaps it might change how you prioritize things or how you budget your time. Considering the information you have in the first two questions, think about if it would change anything that you're doing right now. Write yourself a couple notes about that. As you consider any changes you might do, hold them lightly. This is like the very first part of a rough draft that you're creating here, and so you can kind of have this as the spirit of brainstorming, where you don't have to do anything that you're writing down. These are just ideas to consider. As I'm doing this in my own head, I have a thought that goes something like, I probably wouldn't watch so much TV on the internet. I was a little more focused. Maybe I would make a request to myself to limit the time that I spend with media. I want to hold that lightly. I know I'm kind of going through this a little quickly, but know that this is being recorded and that you can come back and explore it more later. In the homework, I'll include these questions so that you can go back and do some more journaling about it if you choose to. But imagine now, project yourself into the future. Imagine that you're toward the end of your life. You're still very vibrant and alive and clear, and yet you know there's an awareness in you that you have lived most of the days that you're going to live. And now you're looking back with a sense of celebration. What would you have liked to have accomplished as you look back? What did you do? Contemplating your life from the perspective of your transition. What would you have liked to accomplish? So this weekend, Jory and I had the opportunity to go to TEDx Maui. And one of the speakers is taking responsibility for helping to rebuild the watershed on the dry land forest of leeward Maui, the leeward side of Maui, the part that doesn't get as much rain. And he started by planting 10 acres. And it worked so well that the person who donated the land donated another 20 acres for him to play with, begin to reforest this area of Maui with the endemic plants that were here before we started ranching it and devastating the land. And then that part of the project went so well that now the landowner has given him 120 acres more to keep up his project. And so when I'm thinking about what you've written so far, it's like the things that you've done and are doing in your life are like your own seeds in your own project. So I'd like you now to think about what the seeds that you've planted in your lifetime, even after you're gone, what's likely to happen? Like this guy here who's doing this project, he knows that he will not be around to see what happens. He's about 60 years old, maybe 50 or 60 years old. So he won't see the fruit of his actions, what those reforested areas will look like in 50 or 100 or 500 years. So consider that for yourself. What will the seeds you're planting now look like for your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren's generations, and beyond? So any ideas you'd like to jot to yourself about this? In a moment, I'm going to put you in pairs. And the idea is to have a mindful conversation with your partner and to connect around what you have written. So the idea here is just to connect with each other and learn from each other and be nurtured by what you've learned through exploring these questions. You're now in your small groups. And then I'd like to invite you to answer another question. And so here's the next little thought experiment. Imagine that your doctor says you only have 5 to 10 years to live. You won't feel sick, and you'll never know at what moment death will come, sometime within the next 5 to 10 years. You won't feel pain. You won't have any symptoms of illness. But you have total clarity that sometime within the next 5 to 10 years, you'll take your last breath. What will you do? Will you change your life? If so, how? If not, why? Come into this new moment, having had that experience that you just had. So again, bringing your attention to your heart. And what you've just done is taken some steps during the last two parts of the exercise in clarifying your mission. That was the first questions that you answered. Moving towards the vision that you have, moving towards the vision of the world that you'd like to help to co-create. The world as it will stand when you finished your work, dream. Sometimes we call it dreaming in giraffe. Some support in dreaming with one another. Encouragement to never stop dreaming and come back and revisit these dreams, these questions, and come up with even more powerful questions for yourselves that can motivate you to move forward. And then the second question, the second part of the exercise, was really about helping to clarify your mission, the things you'd like to get done in the next 5 to 10 years. Maybe you were able to identify some needs that were really important to you. Or maybe you were even able to go the next step and clarify some strategies of what was really important for you to accomplish with the precious human life that you have, precious time that you have left. So thinking back to Art Medeiros, the guy that I mentioned a moment ago that's got this Maui reforestation project, it's clear to me without even talking to him what his vision is. He envisions restoring the upland forest of Maui, of a Maui that looks like it did before Europeans arrived with their cattle and their horses, a Maui that is so thick with forest that a human cannot even walk through it, so thick with bird life and other animal life and insect life. And then it's very clear to me from just hearing his presentation what his mission is. His mission is to carve out a small pilot project. Now it's up to 150 acres where he's trying out his ideas, planting his seeds. And so he's spending the rest of his life taking steps to make that mission come true. He's organizing work parties every weekend. He's writing papers on his work. He's documenting his work. He's doing experiments about what works and what doesn't work. He has all kinds of steps that he's taking to fulfill his mission of redeveloping these 140, 150 acres that he's working on. And so each of those little steps are like the actions or the requests that he takes every day in fulfillment of his mission. So consider for yourself, based on what you've learned during the exercises, just sink into some of the needs that you identified. Begin a process of savoring those needs right here and right now. Allowing those needs to just fill your heart with opportunity, openness, possibility. Settle into maybe one need, knowing that you can get back to the other needs later, but pick one need that you identified or one aspect of your mission. As you settle into that, imagine in front of you something like a cradle. And imagine that you can design the cradle in any way that you would like. Perhaps it's made of wood or stone or whatever material you would like to make your cradle out of. And you can design it in any way that is meaningful for you. And then into the cradle, place this need or this aspect of your mission that you've identified, this little piece of your own personal puzzle you're working with. Place that into the cradle. Then nurture it. Do whatever that means to you to nurture it. Maybe you notice it needs some warmth or some food or liquid, some music, some stimulation. Whatever you sense it needs, just nurture that important piece for you in the cradle. Just allow whatever nurturing you're doing to have an effect. You notice that it's feeding part of yourself, this piece of your vision or mission or needs. Whenever you're led, just reach out to that. Pick it up. Gentle way at your own pace. Bring it closer and closer to your own heart. Continuing this energy of nurturing it, allowing it to be just as it is while also allowing it to grow. At your own pace, continue to bring it towards your heart. You can actually do this by moving your hands if it's helpful. You keep doing it until your hand is actually on your heart. Hands are on your heart. Breathing with a quality of mindfulness, holding that in your heart. Then consider for yourself, what's one concrete step that I could take right now or as soon as this call is over? But the right now part of it could be writing it down, and right after the call could be when we're done with the call. Or later today or first thing in the morning, what's one concrete step you can take beginning with writing it down? What could you do to nurture and bring into actualization this mission and vision you've been working on? And you might come up with more than one idea. That's fine. But sit with it until one idea pops up and just write it down no matter how crazy it is, or even if it doesn't even seem to make sense. Maybe it's an idea like go out and hug a tree. It doesn't matter what the idea is. Just sit with it until any idea comes. Then write it down, and we'll come back to the large group. So I'm going to leave you in your small group, and I'd like you, if you're willing, you don't have to do this part, but if you're willing to, share with your partner the next step that you identified that you're going to take. Then we'll come back to the large group for a checkout. We're back together in our large group now. So I'd love to hear from everybody in a checkout. I'd love to hear how the day went for you, starting with Paul.
It was very challenging for me today, and I was being worried about if everything was okay in my life. And then I'm just once again reminded of just trusting, just knowing that it's okay, and I love it when it's okay. And I'm just sharing my gratitude for the gifts that just came in this process just now and with my partner.
Mm. Thank you. Savoring that with you, Paul. Lynn, and then Jane.
Nice flow there. I like that. I'd say, pretty dramatic shift in how I'm holding my life. I'm looking forward to seeing how that plays out in this next week. Just a huge depth and richness tonight, more so than any of the other classes so far for me.
Thank you, Lynn. It proves the point to me that the less we say and the more you guys get to connect, the better the classes are. Jane and then Joe.
When I did the imagine you're going to be dead in 5 to 10 years, I had a sudden realization that the place that I am at is way less important than what it used to be. One concrete step that I chosen to make towards the goal of interpersonal harmony throughout the world is giving 6 minutes of empathy a day to my husband. That's where I'm going to start.
Lucky guy. So. Thank you. Yay. All right. Thank you, Jane. Joe and then Annie.
I was pretty sad at the part about what seeds have I planted and what will follow my life. But going into the last part about holding a need and some aspects of my vision in a cradle and nurturing it, I got a lot of positivity about taking some next steps, so I feel uplifted and inspired in the end.
Thank you, Joe. Annie and then Bridget.
The vision that I had was that in the past couple years, I have lost more and more of my focus on NBC. I've gotten so much into just reacting to whatever was right in front of me, and lost a lot of my ability to be making conscious choices and moving in directions that where my intentions are, just reacting, like trying to keep myself together. And it reminded me of driving in a really intense snowstorm where you're just putting on the gas and you're just putting on the brake and you can't see the road. And so just signing up for this class seemed like a crazy thing, and I've only made it to half of them, and I haven't done any of the homework. And the self-connection that I got today in that exercise was like a post that showed me where the side of the road was.
Welcome home, Annie. Bridget and then Katharina.
I was not going to show up today, but I'm very grateful that I did. I felt good about making a sort of declaration about who I am and what I want. What I've wanted more than anything my whole life is to live the life of a writer. And it's been the most meaningful thing for me. That's been the most scary thing to admit and really walk out on a plank about. And my goal is to finish an application for an MFA in creative writing.
Yay! Thank you so much
Wow.
for sharing that. Thank you. Katharina and then Anjali.
I got more out of today, more powerful shift, internal shift out of today than any of the other class. I was pretty clear before about what my vision and what my mission is because I've for several years been part of an NVC mediation program. Part of that process, we revisit this question. But today, you know, really helped me reconnect with my vision and mission, which I forget every once in a while, and then I get discouraged about the financial piece not falling into place as quickly as I would like. But what was different about the process that you used today that I really liked was that you had that extra step of the legacy question.
Yeah.
I never asked that part of the question before. You know, I always had a pretty clear picture of what I want my life to look like and what I want to have accomplished. looking good at my life, but I never asked myself what would stay of that for the rest of the world after I'm gone. I could tell how thinking of that increased my motivation and my faith and my just energy and excitement, because that added a whole different dimension to what I do in my little life.
Great. Thank you, Katharina. Anjali and then Tina.
I also really, really loved this whole day. The last exercise where I went to was very, very interesting. Usually I come up with concrete steps that are very, you know, doable, like we say in NVC. But what I got, my inner guidance was to do exactly what you were saying and to hold in my heart, hopefully every day, but often, hold some aspect of this vision. And what I particularly got that was important is that my vision, my mission, the whole ball of wax, that it needs my care and it needs my trust and it needs my belief. Trust was really big, and that by doing that, I'm like feeding it. Just to hold it like that without thinking about the steps, simply see it as what would be the end result of that. What would, might that look like? You know, smiling faces and my inner joy at contributing and that kind of thing. It was like without actually even knowing what I was going to do. And that gave me this sense of freedom from how my mind gets all caught up in the details and will it be sustainable, to just seeing it and actually enjoying it. You know, like when we go to savoring needs met, just savor the dream met. That it really needs me to do that, because I short-circuit the energy of feeding it, because I always, oh, it won't be sustainable, or how can I make money, or how can I market? And so it needs that sense of trust. I was very excited. Thank you. It makes me feel wonderful to think about it, because I can enjoy it and feed it. And I know from what I've heard others who speak about that is that it's very important to hold the vision, even if we don't know the steps. I'm going to trust that process. Thank you.
Anjali. Tina and then Jory.
Interestingly, the question about imagine 5 to 10 years you have left, what would you do? What do you want to create? I was wanting to get rid of a lot of stuff that I just accumulate, and a sense of freedom around that, not a sense of any urgency, but what do I really need? Just get down to what do I need in my life and what don't I, and really connect with myself around that. Then the question about hold the vision, you know, imagining that cradle and all that, I was just holding it lightly. And one thing I thought of is I don't have a regular empathy buddy right now, but I can reach out to people for empathy on an as-needed basis, and doing that more as I feel I need it, and offering empathy to them too, because just that mutual piece. So I really enjoy these exercises, and I'm going to, you know, do them myself later. Thank you.
Thank you, Tina. Jory, anything up for you?
Well, I'm really living my dream, and my dream is really to support people in living their dream. And I am excited to hear what is coming out of people's mouths. And just the piece that came up for me, and I feel a little squeamish about this, but I'm going to do it, is to promote our program a bit more on compassionate leadership, because this is the program where people really get to live their dreams, and really wanting more and more people to have access to that. So I just want you to know we have a program of 8 months called Compassionate Leadership, Leading Your Own Life and Influencing Others, and that through that program we hold a plan and we support each other in filling the plan. We create a community that does that, and with an incredible amount of support. So I just want you to know that, so you have the choice to consider that. CompassionateLeadership.com.
Thanks, Jory. I'm touched that you mentioned that, and slightly blushing, I notice. And also really glad to have had this chance to hear how the call affected everybody. That's what's most live in me, is to hear the feedback and the confirmation of my guidance of the needs that I was hoping to meet. And it sounds like many of them were met. And for those of you who weren't here in person on the call today, I'd love to hear how the stuff affected you. I know you're out there. I know you're listening. And email to us, to me, Anjali at radicalcompassion@gmail.com would be very meaningful to find out how this class has affected you. And we will be back next week for our final step in this journey of this class. And whether you are a regular attendee, live or not, next week would be the one that I would really love. If there's only one class you could make, it would be next week, because we're going to be talking about aloha, and we're going to also be measuring the class and talk about what worked and what didn't work about the class and learning from each other so we can make the next round even better.